Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. 17 to the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It was a pleasure to continue to be with you. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Amanda Elam is here, co-founder and president CEO of Galaxy Diagnostics, research fellow at the International Diana Research Institute at the Babson College. She's here with the number of things to report, the Diana International Research Institute's launch. One of the things that the Babson College has helped to reveal with other partners over the last 20 or so years, Amanda, as you know very well, is the connection between entrepreneurship and economic growth and liberty, right?
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
I think it's a really important connection, this concept that entrepreneurship can lead to different forms of liberty or emancipation.
I've said for a long time, Amanda, that what's good for small business is good for the world. And that's not a self-serving statement for me. I really believe that the more we can connect and proliferate the entrepreneurial effort around the world, the more we can promote liberty. And I think entrepreneurship is the biggest enemy. I've said this many times before. The biggest enemy of despots, of communism, is entrepreneurship. What do you think?
Well, I think Adam Smith would agree with you. I think it's about pursuing one's own self-interest, right?
Right.
And in a capitalist economy, we do that through starting and growing businesses. Mm-hmm. And if you are a business owner, you start and grow your own business, you're going to work pretty hard to make sure, at least in terms of your freedom to operate, you're going to work pretty hard to ensure that you can do that, because it's the only way you meet the needs of your customers, your market. It's the only way you can take care of your employees. It's the only way you can be a good corporate citizen if you have a fair amount of autonomy in any kind of political or economic system.
Right. So that's the reason why what you guys are doing, the Diana Project, the Diana International Research Institute, is to help women get the capital they need to fund their entrepreneurship so that they can feel more empowered. And I know your approach is not just U.S.-centric. It's a global approach. You've got some research on that you guys are covering. I'd like for you to talk to us about it.
Well, I'd like to share with you some of the research we're doing around the financing aspect of it. So
Okay. We
held an event last fall where we invited stakeholders. So these are researchers, educators, entrepreneurs, investors, bankers, to all stakeholders in the ecosystem to come in and talk about the challenges, the constraints that women face when they're accessing capital. And equity capital, very specifically, because that's where we see the biggest gap. And women are facing, there's a lot of talk, the way we framed it is it implicit bias or is it a pipeline issue? Are there not enough women in the pipeline? Are they not asking? Or is there some level of discrimination and bias going on? And the answer, of course, Jim, is both.
It's all
right?
three.
It's all three.
There's discrimination. And there's ineptitude by men and women, but certainly women have that issue, and then the confidence issue cannot be underestimated, and if you're not confident, if you'll ask for the money, if you're not confident, you won't ask for enough, and you'll get turned down by a VC quicker by not asking for enough.
So I would say that the research shows that there's some bit of a confidence gap, but the research also shows that confidence gap is complicated by different cues. So men are much more likely to see their businesses funded based on their potential as a CEO, whereas women see CEOs are often only funded when they have a proven track record.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, is that confidence gap, is it due to, you know, some sort of internal psychology, or is it actually a product of what's going on in the environment around these individuals? I think it's really important, and it isn't all men get funded, you know, based on potential, or all women don't get funded, you know, based on potential. It's more complicated than that, because we don't judge individuals as just male or female with their collections of signals, of traits, right, that we want to invest in or we don't. The other thing that women entrepreneurs face, though, that nobody's talking about is that sometimes it isn't their competence as a business leader that's being questioned. It's the market opportunity they're going after. Is it big enough? Is it all female? Is that really matter? Do we really want to fund that? And with 92% of VCs, the venture capitalists, as male, a lot of them just don't get the markets that women are going after. And then even when they do, they also don't always get the types of business models that women tend to adopt. I think it's a lot more complicated, and we need to unpack this. And
are you helping women, though? I believe that there's an awful lot of opportunity out there for women that don't involve venture capitalists. It literally involves bank lending. And I know that the law requires banks to not discriminate against anyone for lending, but I think a lot of people. Look at your own company. I know a little bit about your own company. I think more women. I don't want venture capital. I want to grow my business, but I don't want venture capital. And I've managed to do it with the organic and bank loans. What do you think? Last thoughts before we go to a break.
Well, I think that that's absolutely a really important strategy. I think growing organically takes longer. And so when it comes to looking at high potential businesses, there's often a runway.
Right.
And so there's a desire to raise so that you can, grow the company quickly.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.